I'm going to preach to both the junior church and the adults. I'm going to have as my title and my theme that one verse that we read from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible reminds us many times that God and Jesus do not change. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That verse means that God does not change one bit. I mean, he doesn't even flicker. Like a neon light, that he is constant, has been forever, and will continue forever in the future. In the book of Malachi, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And I'm glad that we have a God that doesn't change. Let me talk to the juniors for a minute. Can you imagine how hard it would be to please mom and dad if they changed the rules every day? I mean, you got up on Monday and they said, well, this is the way I want you to do it. Then you got up on Tuesday and they changed their mind completely and say, no, I don't want you to do it on the way I told you on Monday. I want you to do it this way. And then you get up on Wednesday and they come up with a new rule on Wednesday. It would be hard to be a good kid, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be hard to keep straight all the rules. And I'm glad that we have a God that does not change. The way to please him has been constant throughout all time. And so this morning, I'm going to preach again on that subject, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm going to give you three ways that Jesus has not changed. Now, I could make this sermon a real deep sermon from a theology standpoint, because I'm going to use two examples from the Old Testament where God made an appearance. And I could go into the theology where I think when God made this appearance, it was really Jesus Christ. Even though he has not been born yet, even though he had not come as a baby and born in Bethlehem. But I believe in the Old Testament, when God appeared, it was in some form Jesus Christ. All right? But I'm not going to get into the theology this morning of it. I just believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. But the examples I'm going to use, two from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, of where Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The first example is going to go back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. And I will tell you that the same God who fellowshipped with Adam and Eve, who walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, is the same God that wants to fellowship with you today. He hasn't changed. That desire hasn't changed. When God made Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that he came and walked with them. He came and fellowshipped with them. You know that word fellowship means exactly what it says? It means two fellows in the same ship. And that word fellow is neutral from a standpoint. It means both men and women. But that word fellowship means two people in the same ship, going in the same direction, going the same way, trying to accomplish the same thing. That's what God wants with us. He wants to fellowship with us. That's why he made Adam and Eve. And by the way, that's why he made every one of us. You say, now, just a minute, preacher. I was not made like Adam and Eve. I was not made from the dust of the ground like Adam. I was not made from a rib like Eve was. I was born. I understand that. But when you were born, that's the hillbilly way of saying born. Born. When you were born because God wanted you to be born. Nobody is born on the face of the earth. Nobody comes into existence unless God wills it. And your birth was just as much a creative act of God as when he made Adam and Eve. And you were created by God with the same desire that he had for Adam and Eve, for us to fellowship together, to have that relationship with him. And every single person has built into them that same desire to fellowship with God. Adam and Eve looked forward to it. The Bible says in the cool of the day, God would come and he would walk with them. And I can just imagine the conversations that took place when God walked with Adam and Eve. You see, Adam and Eve, everything was new. I mean, they had a whole world to discover. Every flower was new, every tree was new, every vegetable. And I can just imagine in my mind, one day God comes and Adam says, God, you know what we tried today? We tried broccoli. It's amazing how that broccoli tastes. Another day they might have tried a pear or an apple. And everything that Adam and Eve tasted and tried, they wanted to share with God because they fellowshiped together. God looked forward to it, but so did Adam, so did Eve, because God built into every person that desire to have a relationship with him. You have that. You have a desire given to you by God, built into you when he made you to fellowship with him. And there is nothing except a relationship with God that can satisfy that desire. You see, we've tried to satisfy it in a lot of different ways. I mean, some people think that if they enjoy nature and the things that God have made, that they will satisfy that inward desire that they have for the relationship with God. Some people think that if they get the wisdom that comes from God, and so they get educated and they try to be wise, that will satisfy that relationship, that need for that relationship with God. Some people think that things will. I want to tell you this morning, there's only one thing that will satisfy that desire that is built into you for a relationship with God. It's nothing that man has made, nothing that the world offers. There's only one thing that will give your soul peace, that will give you a sense of purpose, that will give you a sense of joy in your life, and that's a relationship with God. Amen. Nothing else. Nothing else. And the same God who walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve is the same God today that wants a relationship with you. I don't know about you, but that sort of excites me. The God who made everything. The God who made the sun, moon, and the stars. The God that made all the earth and everything that's in it wants a relationship with me. Wants to fellowship with, wants to be in the boat with me. And he's put in me a desire to be in the boat with him. So the same God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, the same Jesus, the same God who walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve is the same God who wants to walk with me and wants to walk with you. Second example, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, the same person who came down one day and talked to Abraham and said, Abraham, I got to go over to Sodom and Gomorrah because the sin of those cities have come up before me. And I've got to go check it out. And if it's true, I'm going to destroy it. I've got to destroy those cities because of their sin. The same God who punished the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, punished that sin of sodomy, punished that sin of homosexuality, punished the lifestyle that those people have chosen, is the same God who punishes sin today. Same God. He has not changed. The penalty for sin is the same today as it was for Adam and Eve, the same today as it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if it was just physical death, that might be okay, but that's not what the Bible means. The wages of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God. You see, when Adam and Eve, they sinned. They disobeyed God, and that's what sin is, disobeying God. God said you could eat every tree in the garden except for the one in the center, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat that tree, from the fruit from that tree, you will die. You know the story. Satan deceived Eve. She ate the fruit. She fed it to Adam. He ate, and they died. You mean, preacher, they died? Were their bodies, their lungs quit taking in air and their heart quit beating? No. They didn't die physically. They lived for a number of years after they sinned. But they died spiritually. They were kicked out of the garden. They could no longer fellowship with God. And God hasn't changed. When God saw the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, he says sin has to be punished. And he came down and he checked it out. And the Bible says when he saw the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, he rained fire and brimstone from heaven and burned up those cities. And every time in the Bible, after the book of Genesis, that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned, they're held up as an example of the payment for sin, as the judgment for sin. I want to remind you this morning that we cannot sin and get by with it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. We may try to hide it from those around us, and we may do a pretty good job of covering up. But I want to remind you this morning, there is a God in heaven that sees everything we do, that hears everything we say, that knows everything we think, and we are going to be held accountable for our sin. That's what God does. He has not changed. Jesus Christ, the same today, and the same yesterday, and today, and tomorrow. He does not change. The same God who walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and wanted to fellowship with them is the same God that wants to fellowship with you. But the same God who punishes sin cannot fellowship with us if we are in our sin. But number three, and here's the best part. Here's the part that I love to talk about. Here's the part that I love to preach about. I usually preach about it every week, one way or another. The same Jesus who went to Calvary's cross and died on Calvary's cross and paid the price of sin on Calvary's cross is the same Jesus today that wants you to be saved. The same Jesus today that wants you to go to heaven. He hasn't changed. The Bible says the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that day that our Savior went to Calvary, that day that he hung on the cross, the Bible says that God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins, every little boy and every little girl that's in this room, every teenager that's in this room, every young adult, every old adult, every person in this room, God took every one of your sins and laid them on his Son. And when... And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price, the whole price, everything that was owed for your sins. Everything. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. And that same, that same Savior who hung on the cross, that those hours that the sun went black, who cried from the cross as he was paying for our sins, "My God, my God! Why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, even God had to turn his back, had to separate himself from his only Son as he bore our sin, because that's the price of sin. But that same Savior who hung on the cross and paid the price for your sin and paid the price for my sin is the same Savior today that says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden." Heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest. Same Savior. Been 2,000 years since he hung on the cross. Been 2,000 years since his body was broken. Been 2,000 years since his blood was shed. But he hasn't changed. The same love that took him to the cross, the same love that kept him there. Jesus, he had the power to come down from the cross. That song says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have come down off the cross, but it was love that took him to the cross. It was love that kept him on the cross. It was love that paid for every one of our sins. And that love hasn't changed. He loves you as much today as he did when he hung on the cross. He wants you to be saved today as much as when he hung on the cross. He begs you to come today and receive that salvation as much today as when he died that day on Calvary. He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now here's the thing. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that love? What are we going to do with that sacrifice that was made on Calvary? What are we going to do with that payment that Jesus Christ made for our sins? You say, preacher, I'm not going to do with anything with it today. I didn't come to do anything with it today. I'm going to walk out the door exactly the same way that I walked in. I didn't come to make a decision. I didn't come to do any of that stuff. I don't want to be a Baptist. I don't want to be a member of this church. I just came because somebody invited me and you were having a meal after church and I wanted to come and be part of the person, so a person that invited me. I wanted to help them out. I'm going to tell you something this morning. That may be the reason that you came, but I got some news for you. You cannot walk out that door this morning without making a decision for Jesus Christ. You'll either say, I'm not, which means you're saying, I don't want the love, I don't want the payment, I don't want the sacrifice that was made on Calvary, I reject Jesus Christ. You say, I didn't come to reject Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. If you walk out without receiving him as your Savior, that's what you're doing. You're rejecting the love, the sacrifice, the payment that was made for your sins. Or, and many people have already done this, I know the vast majority of people in this room this morning have already done it, you have received it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've done that. You've told Jesus that you knew you were a sinner. You told him you knew there was a penalty for that sin. And there was a point in your life, a time in your life, where you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I'm talking to the people that have never done it. To the people who have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. You know, you can do that today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you got to do, and again, you don't have to say a certain number of words. You don't have to say certain words. All you got to do is tell God, hey, I know I'm a sinner. And the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You just got to tell God, I know I'm a sinner. I understand and I believe that book when the book says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And then say, I believe that when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid my penalty. He paid my price. He took my place. And right now, I want to ask him, Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. That's all it takes. Some people criticize Christianity because they say it's too easy. There must be something more to it. There must be something that we have to do. There must be something that we have to pay. There must be something that we have to be. And the Bible says, nope. God wants us just like we are. Just like we are. If we'll come and put our faith in him, he'll save us. It's not of works. Not of works. In fact, I was talking to somebody, I don't even remember who it was, about Christianity. Oh, it was Laura, I think, about Christianity. Somebody was asking her, what's the difference about Christianity? And she said, one of the differences is there's no works involved. Jesus paid it all. When he said from the cross, it is finished, what he was saying is, I've done everything that's required to pay the price for your sin. And he has. Now, again, I ask you, what are you going to do with it this morning? You only have two choices. You got to make one of them. You either say no and reject it, or you say yes and come to Christ. And I can't think of a better day to do it than the last Sunday in July, the year 2014, for you to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. We'll help you do that. We'll take the Bible, from the Bible, show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior if you need to do it this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gospel, for making it so plain and simple that even the children that are in the auditorium this morning can understand it. And I pray for each person here who's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, help them to see that they're a sinner. Help them to see that you haven't changed, that sin still has a penalty, but that Jesus Christ paid that penalty on Calvary's cross. And help them to come this morning and receive the Savior, ask Jesus to save them. I pray that every person here that doesn't know for sure and can't remember a time in their life where they asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray this morning that right in their seat, they would make that decision and they would ask Jesus to save them. And then when we stand and have an invitation in a minute, that they'd walk down the aisle so that we could rejoice with them for making that decision. And so I pray, Father, you'd bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient to the gospel. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.